This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Tass.
Thank you, Macca. Our next guest, of course, is the ACTU president, Michelle O'Neill. Good morning to you, Michelle.
Good morning, Tess and Macca. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Great to have you on the airwaves and thank you for taking time out of your busy Saturday morning to speak with us. Michelle, we're particularly interested in exploring with you the topic this morning of the way in which the federal government seems to have missed out on providing some capacity in its budget, probably one of the most significant budgets ever, that's going to take us into massive debt for the rest of my life, I suspect. But it seems to have missed out on investing in women. Do you agree with that?
Well, we do, because we've been looking at what's been happening to people throughout the pandemic. And of course, it doesn't treat everybody the same. And what we knew even before we were in the middle of COVID-19 is that there was this really high rate of insecure work in Australia. And one of the things that characterises that is it's more likely to be women who are in insecure jobs, casual jobs and lower paid. And then when we hit COVID-19, that the sectors that were really hard hit first and fast were also sectors where the majority of workers are women. So things like hospitality, retail, higher ed and arts, all of those sectors. And so you saw a really big drop in the number of women employed, but also the hours at work they were getting, shifts they were getting, and also a lot of them dropping out of the labour market. And that got even worse when, in the midst of the recession, the very first group of workers that the government cut off JobKeeper, and we know there were plenty that weren't eligible to begin with, but the first group that were cut off were early childhood educators, workers in childcare centres, and they were cut off JobKeeper prematurely at the same time as the government stopped free childcare. So all of these things mean that there's been this really disproportionate impact on women throughout the whole period of COVID-19.
And can I just say, we have known forever that insecure work is a leading contributing cause towards poor mental health outcomes in our community. We've known this forever. Why would a government of any sort fail to invest in secure work and investing in half of its population?
It's so true. It's so short-sighted to not realise that everybody, not just the workers themselves, but everyone is disadvantaged and badly affected by having a labour market where we've got more insecure jobs. It's really bad for the workers themselves who don't know how much you're going to earn week to week, month to month. It makes it impossible to plan your life. But when we're in a recession, of course, it just means that people don't have enough money to spend, and they don't have certainty. And what the economists tell us is the key to coming out of recession is people having money to spend and certainty about the future. Mm. And the more insecure jobs we have, the less certainty we have. And that mental health impact was already there. But then if you add the pandemic to it, it's a really tough call for people. And of course, the cost of that for everybody in social and human terms, but also economically, is enormous. And what we saw the government do was just deliver a bloke's budget, really. And, you know, we need to make sure we look after all workers, women and men. We need to make sure we look after workers in the city and country and all parts of the economy. But the this budget just showed how completely out of touch the federal government is and how they're not listening to women and what's happening to them.
Michelle, it's Macca. I'm challenged by this. I don't understand, you know, why the government seems to have such a set of blinkers on. I'd like to ask you, what would you do if, you know, you've suggested there needs to be an advisory body or a group or whatever, you know, to advise the government on the budget. Now, you know, I can tell you now, the government won't accept that. You know, even if you're a female minister, the Prime Minister talks across you in press conferences. But how, if there was such a body, what would be some of the suggestions that you'd like to bring forward as to, you know, we've covered off insecure work and that women predominantly are the most affected by that, but what other issues would you like to be addressed in the budget specifically to target that 50% thereabouts of the population that doesn't seem to be getting much of a gig out of this budget other than a few crumbs?
Yeah, Macca, I think that there is blinkers on, and that probably comes from a whole range of factors, but an obvious one is just not enough senior women in positions of power that are being listened to. But what are some of the practical things we think could happen straight away is the reintroduction of universal free childcare. And that has so many flow-on impacts for everybody. It has an immediate impact in terms of women participating in the labour market. It pays for itself because of the way that that those people end up paying tax, and then ultimately costs the taxpayer nothing. In fact, investing in things like early childhood education and care and other parts of care sectors creates proportionately, there was a report this week, 20 times more jobs than investing in something like tax cuts. So if you want to give money public money for public good, that's such a sensible thing to do. But the other thing about it, just to talk about the kids for a minute, is that if you have great quality early childhood care, and one of the things that leads to that is having well-paid and recognised workers in that sector, then that, your brain, the first 5 years of your life,
exactly,
90% of your brain develops.
Exactly.
So, and you learn about socialising and you learn about all of these things. I mean, I reckon it's the hardest job in the world. I could never do it.
Michelle,
that's an obvious...
I fail to understand why any government of any persuasion wouldn't want to have a strong, healthy, connected, employed, engaged workforce and population. It doesn't make sense to me. If you want to be popular, what you do is you actually invest in your community. You invest in people rather than squandering money away to business the way in which they have done. Michelle... that's a comment rather than asking a question.
I agree with your comment, though.
So if you had your handles on the till, if you were the treasurer, what would be the top two or three things that you would invest in?
Well, I mentioned one. So the immediate, you know, universal free childcare.
Yes.
The other thing is that we would immediately say that what you should do is put money into those sectors where the majority of women work, but have those flow-on effects as well. The second for me would have to be aged care. So again, you've got this high proportion of women working in the aged care sector. You've got what we know years now of evidence about terrible neglect and lack of quality in that sector, and shocking sort of skiving off of profits by private providers with no accountability for government money spent. So again, you have all these multiplier positive things that are good for people and our society. So if you properly fund that sector, if you demand accountability for that money that goes into it, and you raise the recognition of the skill and experience and value of the people who work in that sector and pay them properly, you won't have to have aged care workers doing 2, 3, 4 jobs and all the risks that come with that. You get much better quality care for our elders, which we all want to see. And of course, again, it has all those benefits for everybody socially as well as economically. So that would be the second one. And then the third thing I'd say is that right now, one of the other things I haven't mentioned about what's happened with the worsened with COVID is the level of family and domestic violence because of all of the additional things that happen in terms of people being at home more and not being able to leave and, you know, just magnifying what we knew was already a problem. So we really think you need to guarantee paid family and domestic violence leave for every worker so that you don't have to make that terrible choice about, do I have to lose my job or my pay to keep myself safe or myself and my kids safe? And so giving paid leave where people can, if necessary, find somewhere else to live, go to court, get support, get, you know, all the things that you know are so necessary if you're in that situation, would make an immediate difference. And again, have all these positives. I could go on. I've got a long list. I know you don't want to hear all of them. But what I do want to say is that it doesn't make sense to just think of the labour market like it was the 1950s, which is what we see this government doing. So we support, of course, money going into construction and building roads and all of those things, but you've got to think beyond that and realise that the sectors, and it's the public sector and the community and service sector where a whole lot of women are, putting money that in those sectors is necessary too, and that's what's not happening at the moment.
Michelle, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but three very simple ideas that would actually just make us such a better society and a better community. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
No, thanks very much, Taz and Macca.
And, and it sounds to me like probably one of the next big campaigns has got to be to tackle with this idea of insecure work. Certainly in the work that I do, it's something that I'm looking at very closely, and I hope that we can get some leadership around really stamping out insecure work in our community. Again, that's another comment, really, isn't it?
Another.
and one that's so true, because, you know, that the issue about it, that's a fundamental fault line that we just have to address for the future for everybody. And so the last thing I'm going to tell all your listeners, of course, is join your union, because that's where we're fighting to make sure that we do get more secure jobs and some more justice in all of this.
And we add to that, you're listening to Joy, become a member. there's power in numbers.
Thank you, Michelle.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.